Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Back on track, Brewers over the Reds, 9-5 the victory today. Got a little hairy at the end there, but a lot of positives to glean on today. The bounce back victory, the offense jumping out, Joe Ross. Really, really exciting day for the Brewers, and they get the victory. If you want to join us, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the phone line to call or text into. I'm Dominic Cotroneo, pleased to be joined by Craig Kishon. And, you know, bounce back is kind of a common phrase, of course, in the sports world, Craigor. But, you know, early in the season, you never want to overreact to a tough loss like last night. But then they showed a little bit of fight at the end. I mean, at one point, the Brewers had scored 15 more runs when they were down. So they were down 8-0, and then they were up 8-0. So at one point, it was 16-2, the run differential in this one. So I really like what we saw today, specifically from the offense to kind of, after getting punched in the mouth yesterday, to punch right back even harder.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And this is the thing about this team that we know is going to be different this year is the offense. And just to be able to, you know, go back to last night, down 8-0, make your comeback. Granted, they didn't have the lead, but, man, they really threatened till the very end of the game. So that was a good sign on that. And then to carry it over tonight, I mean, that's the bottom line. They haven't shown signs of a team that is going to get themselves in even a mini slump at this point. And, you know, it's going to happen. We understand that in baseball. But early on, stay competitive. Stay in it, you know, believe in oneself. And I think we've seen that, you know, in the first 10 games of the season.
But I think I am burying the lead a little bit here. Joe Ross is really the story in my book today. He's overwhelmingly leading my player of the game poll over on Twitter. His line score today, 6 1/3, 5 hits, 3 runs, 2 were earned. Now, 2 of those runs scored after he had exited the game. 1 walk. And 7 strikeouts on 87 pitches. He pitches into the 7th inning, the first Brewer starter to do so this season. Yes, it got hairy with the bullpen after him, but Joe Ross delivered exactly what this pitching staff needed in the middle of this long stretch of games.
Well, not only that, Tom, but who would have expected this at this point? Especially only the second game in. I think during spring training and really realistically, let's just see how the real season unfolds for Joe Ross, since he hasn't pitched in such a long time. And, you know, he's battled through the injuries and getting back and whatnot. And it wasn't like this guy was, you know, an elite pitcher before his injury and joining the Brewers, but he's a very good pitcher. And, you know, we know what this staff has done as far as, you know, coaching and developing, you know, pitchers, you know, at any level, whether you're a veteran, you've been around for a while, you're battling back from injuries like he has, or some of the young guys who maybe have failed early in their careers. We've seen it all with this staff. And, you know, kudos to everybody that has brought this guy to this point. You know, 2 games in, there is no way in the world when this game started today, I would have thought that Joe Ross would have been pitching into the 7th inning and being really effective. You know, his biggest nemesis is giving up walks. And we saw that in the first start as a Brewer. And tonight he was very much in control. And so kudos to him. You know, forget about those inherited runners that scored. This guy was spot on, and truly, I can't wait for his next start, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, the sliders particularly, I was so impressed with the slider today. Yep. All 10 of his swings and misses were on that pitch, and I made a comment here watching the game that, you know, from about like the 3rd inning on, it seemed like everything was in the zone and in the bottom third and below. And the Reds just panicked. They started swinging first pitch and grounding out a lot more, not getting into strikeout counts, not giving him the opportunity to K. But Ross just kept feeding those back foot sliders to all the lefties in the order. And he pitched like a savvy veteran that he is, late breaking movement. Then he even got creative later in the game. We saw a couple changeups, a couple curveballs starting to expand the arsenal a little bit. Joe Ross at the back end of this rotation, it's not because he's the fifth best starter on the team. It's just because he can, just like we saw today, be a stabilizer, especially at a time when the Brewers need it, given the length that he got out of them today. And he'll pitch one more time before the off day next week. He'll pitch again on Monday. And quite frankly, the Brewers are going to tap on his shoulder and say, can you do it again, my guy? Because that was exactly why they signed him.
Well, for sure. And I think you hit a couple of the points that show that this guy's been around for a while, that he's a veteran pitcher. I mean, he gets it. Like, you want a pitcher to get better as the game goes on. And clearly we saw that tonight. First time through the order, get to the second time through the order, and he's only getting stronger. He's getting more strikes. He's getting more efficient outs, and he's pitching deeper in the ball game. And those are all the clear signs that you want out of a veteran pitcher. And so this guy's out there doing the job. So you made a couple of points on that, Dom, and that's exactly what we saw tonight. His slider was spectacular. And if you can keep that going with him, get him into that next start, and I'm telling you, it's going to be good stuff. It's going to be good stuff.
Very, very good stuff from him. A couple of texts here. This one from Tom in Pewaukee. I hope Adames is rubbing off on some of the guys down there. His leadership is so huge. Him talking down and calming down Uribe seems small, but it's one out of a whole bucket of moments where he stops to get a guy on track. And also, my 2023 PTSD is going away. This lineup has so much juice from top to bottom. Three straight games of eight or more runs. The Brewers knew that the pitching staff was going to look different this year, and what did they do? Yes, there's some reclamation projects there, and one of them was successful today in Joe Ross, but they made sure to add to the offense and become dynamic in that last line. Three straight game with eight-plus runs, and today they did it without a home run, Craig. This was a balanced attack, especially from the bottom third of the order.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I think if I, you know, I don't have my lineup in front of you, but I think from Dunn at the top of the order, I think everyone after that at least had one hit tonight.
That's correct.
So, I mean, this is the hit parade that you want, and you're stacked with your young guys at the bottom part of the order who are all hungry, have all delivered so far. And obviously, we just all hope that continues for this team. You know, it's the next step for these guys, and I think they're all embracing it right now. They know that they just, wherever they are in the order, they just need to do their job. And I think we're just continuing to see that here, you know, in the first 10 games of the season. And tonight was great. I mean, like you're saying, give me eight runs a game. Where has that been in the last, not only last year, but several years that we've been able to say that? Win or lose. Last night, Brewers lost. Tonight, they win. They won on Sunday. You know, give me 12-plus runs. I'll take that, too. But we knew the offense was going to be better. And the good thing about it is we're seeing those signs for sure right now.
It's been just about as what you expect, including a little bit of shakiness in the back end of the bullpen. We'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. We're just getting going. Brewers get the victory today. They improve their record to 7-3. The Reds fall to 6-5. The Pirates lost today, but we're not going to get ahead of ourselves with standings in April. The Pirates are 9-3 now on the young season. We're going to take our first break in just a moment, but before we do that, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. More with Craig, more from you, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Rolling on. Second segment of our program this evening will go just past 10 o'clock tonight. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is here with us as well. Let me get to a few fan inputs after a 9-5 victory for the Brewers over the Reds. Good bounce back from last night. The first 10 games have shown they can get the clutch hits, which was what was missing last year. I like it. That one is from Doug. Over on Twitter, one person on my Player of the Game poll said, hey, wait a minute. Christian Yelich should be player of the game for some of his timely hitting. Knocks to the almost exact spot in right field to keep the offense buzzing. We talked a little bit about Yelly last night. We've talked about Yelly plenty and what William Contreras has done. Let's give some love to a guy that we really don't get a chance to give a lot of love to, and that's Blake Perkins. And he's in the thankless role right now with the ninth spot of the order, kind of in a back-and-forth fourth outfielder role. Maybe he'll get some starts against lefties and just kind of looking over his shoulder, waiting until Garrett Mitchell gets activated from his broken finger/hand, that his playing time will certainly decrease in that sense too. But here he is. He's only playing in his third game this year. He goes 3-for-5, sets a new career high in hits, drops a perfect bunt, gets 3 runs batted in. He did not strike out today. I was very impressed with what Blake Perkins brought to the table today, and all while playing flawless center field defense.
Well, you know, Dom, his demeanor is just really, really good for baseball. I mean, you know this, and everybody who loves this sport, you can't be too high, you can't be too low, you can't beat yourself up during those tough times, and you can't over-celebrate when you're doing well. And in his case, he has gotten very few opportunities to contribute to this team. You get a start on opening day, and then you sit for virtually, it seems like, a week without any activity in real play. And he gets his opportunity tonight and just calmly does his thing. Listen to his post-game interview on the TV side of the post-game show, and he's just cool cat, man. And that's what you need. This guy's been around for a bit. He's not overly successful in Major League Baseball, but the times that he has been given, he's produced. And when called upon, he's produced. And so I love his character. I love his mindset. And I don't know where he is going to land when Garrett Mitchell gets healthy or whatever the case may be. Who knows in this game, right? I mean, anybody else can go down. He can remain on the team, or he can become, you know, overly productive and stay on this roster somehow. But we need more of Blake Perkins before this season's up. And his call isn't going to be just in April and done, that's for sure. And we saw it last year. So, you know, I really applaud what he's been able to do, and he's in a tough role right now. And to be able to produce when called upon in very few occasions, good for him, man.
Yeah, I really enjoy talking to Blake, and he has certainly been a guy, like you said, that demeanor, and he's just even flow, same guy every day. We talked to him in spring training when he had a little bit of a calf issue, kept him on the shelf for a couple days, and we talked to him once he got back into a game. And I remember one of the questions from Kurt Hoag was like, does anything rattle you? And he goes, no, nothing really gets me worked up, man. Like, nothing. I mean, I believe it. Like, when this guy's playing, like, you know, Fortnite or something, and if somebody, you know, beats him in the game, he's like, all right, I lost today. No big deal.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like,
that's the kind
he's
of guy
my
he
cool
is.
Cat. He's my
exactly.
Cool cat. Yeah. Yep.
So great. This. Go ahead, Craig.
No, I mean, I just, you know, I love baseball players like this because It's baseball players have a different mindset and different demeanor than probably any other pro sport athlete. And there, we're going to see more baseball players probably than any other in pro sports. It's just how it all lays out. And, with the whole, you have options to minor league back and forth and all this stuff, he's endured all of that too. So, and then sometimes, hey, it's a 26-man roster now. You've got a DH. You're going to sit on the bench if you're not an everyday starter for potentially quite some time. So what do you do to stay ready? And it's not about the team at that point. It really is about you and you being ready when your time is called. And he's just the epitome of a pro for that. So I applaud him a lot.
He's been great. This tweet coming in, Perkins is my clear choice. Honorable mention for everyone's defensive and timely swings. Yelly looks great when he's feeling healthy. Sal and Bryce fit nicely in the lower part of the order, too. Speaking of those bottom third of the order, that was Frelick, Terang, Perkins today. They combined to go 7 for 14, score five runs, and drive in four. And maybe my favorite stat, zero strikeouts from those bottom three guys. This team is putting bat the ball. Five total strikeouts and four walks today. I am loving this new look offense for the Brew Crew of just always putting pressure on. Not as many stolen bases this series because not as many guys have been on first base anyway. A lot of doubles this series, but one stolen base for Blake Perkins today. And once again, runners in scoring position coming through for the Brewers. That's been their calling card so far. They went 6 for 15. The Reds went 3 for 15. So boom, right there, 6 for 15. That's like, what, 400 or so. Whereas you blink, yes, 3 for 15 isn't terrible. That's 200, but that's three hits. That's four runs, and the timely hitting is here. I mean, it's a different feeling, I think, for Brewers fans. That the timely hit has been arriving in the first 10 games.
Well, and Dom, Perk had a bunt single too, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he like, just carrying on the conversation about him and all the things that it takes – he understands it, and the bottom part of the order understands it. We've seen Terang, bunt his way on already early on in the season. Whatever it takes, and I love that because it's the bottom line, it's the approach. And here's the thing: for the last 7 or 8 years, every time somebody does something, small ball, everybody questions at the end of the game. Was that called? Was that the individual? And honestly, we even never really understood the whole thing. But I think this year, I think under Pat Murphy, we're really understanding it. Yes, we are going to play small ball. Don't question us. There's no reason to. This is part of baseball, and this is how we're going to play it out. And I think we've seen a really nice mix of that. It hasn't been overly done. It hasn't been pressed. It's been put into play very nicely. And again, I think we saw it tonight.
It certainly was a good blend. Total five doubles, no homers, and still scored nine runs is exactly what you're talking about there. Real quick, Christian Yelich, 2 for 4, a double, three runs batted in, and a walk. No strikeouts again for him. He continues to torch the ball. This text from Tomas and McQuanago: still got to just stress how much Yelly owns the Reds, proven leader, and torches Cincy. I agree. We're going to shift gears in the next segment, talk a little pitching. We already talked a little bit about Ross, but I thought we saw something a little peculiar, something that we haven't seen maybe for the last 9 years or so in today's game. I'll explain what that is coming up on the other side of the break. Stay with us. This is Brewers Extra Innings.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Our last segment with Craig Kishon, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Checking on the poll once again. Absolutely no surprise. Almost 300 votes, about 20 minutes left. 78% of the vote has gone to Joe Ross for his performance today. So that'll shift us into the pitching. Again, Ross went 6 1/3, 7 Ks, only one walk after having 5 walks on Wednesday against the Twins. So love that bounce back from him. But what I teased heading into the break there, Craig, was the fact that We saw Abner Uribe today, the closer per se, pitch in a non-save situation. And he had to pitch his way out of a save situation. All of a sudden, he does not earn a save, obviously. But just going to be honest, I mean, Craig Counsell would have never done that. I'm just being 100% real. And I don't know if this was a he needs work, hasn't pitched since Friday, want to see him get back on the horse sort of thing, or we really want to win this dang game. And Pat Murphy said go for it with his closer. But I was a little surprised with the bullpen use in today's game, especially with Elvis Piguero coming back for the eighth inning, not being effective, using Brian Hudson in back-to-back days. I'm not complaining. I'm just openly pondering, is this going to be what we see all year long as far as if you're available regardless of the score?
Well, it's a good question. And I guess my first thought on that is where are they playing the game? And Cincinnati is always dangerous. I mean, I don't care what your lead is. You don't win the game until it's over. Let's put it that way. I mean, it was 8-0 Cincinnati yesterday, and the home team had to fight to win that game. Tonight, the Brewers were ahead throughout the game, but it became a little too comfortable, right? And so I think it's great, though. I think there's that, and I also think there's the other point of it is, and I love this, and I think, honestly, I think we should keep this topic open of what it's been like for the last 8 years under Craig Counsell as manager and what it's going to be like under Pat Murphy as manager. The team and Murph, they don't want to actually say Craig Counsell's name out loud if they don't have to. I think we all understand that, and I get it. But we can do that. And it's natural to do that. It's natural to compare how a team is managed for a long period of time versus how it's managed now. It's a different era. And I get it. We have the same coaching staff beginning to end. We have the bench coach is now the manager, but it's the same players for the most part. It's the same system. And it's like, how are you taking care of business now? And I actually think it's healthy to talk about it like we're doing tonight. It's early in the season. How does Murph do it versus how did Counts do it? What's Murph's lineup versus what Counts' lineup is? I think it's healthy and I think it's good. We're transitioning and moving on. And I think we saw that tonight. You want to win the game or do you want to risk it? Nope. I want to win the game because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know what Thursday is going to bring. You don't know what this weekend when you shift over to Baltimore is going to bring. Win the game now. You have the lead. And I love it. I love what I saw tonight.
And for Murphy's sake, the guy got the job done. It was a little stressful with the leadoff single and then the walk, but then Uribe, just like he did on Friday after giving up the lead, clamped things down, and then he struck out the next three today, which was extremely impressive from Uribe. I was just kind of getting ahead of myself, thinking, all right, well, it's a 7-3 game heading, or 9-3 game heading to the eighth inning. I thought that would have been a perfect landing spot for, like, Kevin Hergett to make his big league debut. Maybe we'll see him tomorrow, knowing Wade Miley is going to have a shortened start. But for the health of this bullpen, it's just a reminder once again, and I know Uribe got the job done again today, but I have said this ever since I got this job in 2022, that the Brewers have enjoyed a biblical run of closers where it's been automatic from, you know, Hader to Williams. I mean, even before that, getting to enjoy the transfer of power from Hoffman to Axford, and you had K-Rod, and you had the great bullpens of 17 and 18, and Knebel and Jeffress, but it's not normally automatic. And the fact that they've had a little bit of wonkiness these last few games kind of reminds them, yeah, they're missing Devin, and Devin will be back, but enjoy it, man, because it is not normal. Because Devin Williams last year against the Reds held them to 0 for 27. He threw a hit-in no-hitter in the season against the Reds last year. He's not available right now, and they made it interesting, but the Brewers got it done. So just remember, those last three outs are a different animal, and Uribe is being a big league closer for the first time in his career.
Yep, and you know, look, a lot of the relievers that you mentioned, that the closers when they came to Milwaukee had big league closing experience. From Hader to Williams to Uribe now, they have been developed as closers, and neither Hader nor Williams was maybe in as much of a hot seat as Uribe is right now, especially at this point of the season where it's like, it's up to you, man. Granted, you've got some guys in the bullpen who can close out games, but let's face it, if you want to win games, you want to have one guy going out there and doing it. And he's pretty much the guy right now. So for him to go in there with a 4-run lead and not technically get the save, but say, I'm securing this win. We need to get this series evened up at this point. We still have a couple of more to go. You know, road trips are tough. This is a 7-game road trip, 2-city stop. We need to win when we can. It's just, you know, from the development standpoint to him learning kind of on the job a little bit in his young career, everything's kind of fallen into place the way you like to see it right now. There's going to be bumps in the road, but so far so good, in my opinion.
I agree entirely. Real quick, let me get to the phone lines here. Mike in Milwaukee has been waiting patiently before we get to break. Mike, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hi, Dom. Quick question. This will go under the category of way early overreaction and put your mind reader hat on. But do you think they, at this point, knowing now what they didn't know before, do you think they regret giving Gary Sanchez the money and not just going with Haas as their backup catcher for the year? I know. Sanchez is 0 for the season, and that's obviously not going to continue. But do you wish if they had that one, do you think if they had that one back, they would have done that a little different?
I appreciate the early disclaimer of not overreacting, but hey, I'm going to overreact real quick. I'm not going to say if they regret it, because I believe the sample size is still too small. I like the, there's been some underlying batted ball number stuff that I like from Gary Sanchez, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. The good news is that Haas remained in the organization. If they had lost Haas, like, you know, if somebody had picked him up or something like that on the waiver wire, I would have probably changed my answer, because, you know, having that as a fallback is not a bad thing. I think we need a little bit bigger of a sample size from Gary. And remember, they reworked that deal because of the health issue and made it incentive laden. And let's be honest, it's looking like now with Rhys Hoskins getting majority of DH spots while he continues to recover, and Bauer's getting the spots at first base, Gary's going to get even less playing time. So I don't know if it's that big of a deal at this point. Craig, I know you probably have some thoughts on this, but I just don't think it's an overreaction yet. Let's revisit this sometime in May.
Yeah, no, it is, and I love the fact that, you know, you approach it as, do you regret it early regret or not? I get it, and I appreciate that, but we don't know yet. We don't know yet. We're only 10 games in, and that, you know, just like our talk earlier tonight about Perkins, very few opportunities here so far. Not everybody is going to get huge opportunities early in the season. You just have to be patient and wait. And you don't know what's going to happen. You know, God forbid on the injury front, it's just part of the game. You just don't know whether it's, you know, going to be William Contreras or somebody else that you know, he fits in better with this club. But you can't ignore the numbers, and this is the career numbers I'm talking about, and this is why he's on this team, and this is why he's built for, you know, American Family Field and whatnot. So I agree. It's just a little too early for anything on that front. He's going to get his opportunities here before it's up, that's for sure. It's just how this game is played out.
I agree entirely. All right, Craig, appreciate you as always, my friend. We will holler at you next week, if I'm not mistaken, and enjoy a few days off, my friend, and hopefully a few more Brewers wins while you're watching from afar. Thanks, Craig.
You got it, pal. Thank you.
All right, Craig Keshawn here on WTMJ. Let's hear from the skipper coming up next. We'll take a breather. My thanks to Mike. Thanks for calling in as well. If you want to join in as well, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Stay with us. We'll hear from the skipper, Pat Murphy, up next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Rolling along with the program, I'm Dominic Catronio. Fun win today as the Brewers win 9-5. This one, a text coming in. Dominic, so far, Christian Yelich looks like he did in 2018 and 2019. Is he back? Is he back? Is he back? It's 10 games. But I will say, a couple of the underlying things that I love. His launch angle is higher than it has been ever in his Brewers career, including those 18 and 19 years. His barrel rate's the best it's ever been in his career. He is still hitting the ball hard. He's being selective. He's playing left field. His neck is fine. Clearly another double today. There's a lot to like from Yelly. Let's reassess at the end of the month. But all systems are go right now for Christian Yelich, to say the least, about how great he has looked and how great he has looked in the third spot in the order as well. I think that's been a major key, that a small piece of info that we've kind of ignored. The fact that he's not leading off anymore, he's batting third and in an opportunity to do more damage thanks to the guys in front of him getting on pace. So it's a big pass the baton effort and things of that nature. But with that all being said, he wasn't the story today. The story in part was Blake Perkins, and we've talked about him a lot. Pat Murphy starts by talking about him tonight as well. Here's what the manager had to say after today's 9-5 victory.
Perkins today, though, to get a lift like that out of the nine hole like that.
He did it the last time he played. He's you know, like, this kid loves baseball. Like, his personality is so calm and cool, collected, and you don't realize his passion for baseball. He watches the game as good as anyone. And he's a great defender, and he's way better right-handed hitter than left-handed hitter. And you try to shy away, like, well, when a lefty pitches, we're going to get all these guys in there. But he deserved a chance, and Jackson needed maybe a blow, I thought, for a day, and Perk just keeps doing it, left-handed, you know what I mean? And just keeps getting hits and stays within himself, plays great D, and I'm really happy for the kid because he just loves it so much, so I'm just happy for him.
He's a real scouting success for you guys, isn't he? Because you had
I don't know where he got it from.
After last season, 23, or 22, I mean, and then nobody really knew who he was, no major league experience, and he does a lot of everything for you, like you said.
He really does. He's a great guy to have on the club, and he came through tonight in a big way, some big situations.
How did Ross get so efficient?
Whoa, that's the story of the game. The story of the game is Joe Ross. I mean, that guy was the Joe Ross of old. You know, that guy was – and William, give William a ton of credit because he dissected what Joe was tonight and just went with it, and him and William. That's a catcher feeling out, because Joe Early was behind in the count on everybody and getting away with some things, and William kind of dissected it and put it together. And, you know, I give William as much of the credit as I do Joe. And, yeah, he was spectacular.
I feel like the game might be teetering a little bit for Joe. There's runners on second and third and fourth inning, one out.
Punch.
Strikeout. I mean, what does that tell you about a guy?
And turned it up a notch, too. I mean, and he maintained his velo into whatever inning he pitched into.
Yeah.
You know, seventh? Pitching the seventh?
Yeah, first guy.
Longest start.
Yeah. And, yeah, he's, you know, he was bobbing and weaving early and then got on a roll against a really good offensive club. It's a good team.
Mark, how much did you need that length? You know, we've talked so much about the stretch and the bullpen and to get that kind of length, especially with Wade going tomorrow.
Yeah, it was great. And then Pagueira needed a pitch. Uribe needed a pitch, so it worked out perfectly.
Back to William talking about how he kind of felt that out. Is that a skill you've kind of seen him develop?
This guy's got instincts for the game, man. You know what I mean? Like, he's got instincts for the game. And that's making him a full-time catcher was his commitment to being. Last year, he committed to being a defensive catcher. You know what I mean? And once he did that, he started to show signs. You can't just jump into it and be good at it. But this year he came with an idea of what he wanted to do, and he has a really good feel. We don't call any pitches. I mean, he calls them all.
And he's usually, you feel like he's elevated that even from all the progression he made through last season,
like,
this year with
like
another level.
Quantum leap. It's a term I like to use, don't I? You didn't hear it in spring training because you skipped spring training.
I did. I took a couple of months off.
You almost took a Dixie, so.
When you said William was in sync with what Ross was doing as the game wore on, can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, like, he started to realize what was effective, and then he matched what he knew Joe could do with the hitter's strengths and weaknesses. And then you kind of make it like a judgment of, okay, what the hitter is thinking right here, and what do I know Joe can do? And it's like art, you know what I mean? It's just, wow. You can see the hitter going, I wasn't ready for that. I was looking for something else. And it's a beautiful thing. And William was the architect behind it. And it took him a few innings to kind of realize, okay, what's this guy got tonight? Because he doesn't know him very well. They're not like been through a season together or anything. And Joe's figuring out himself, and that was impressive.
It was very impressive, to say the least. Let's relive it coming up next. Highlights out on the other side of this break on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Game two between the Reds and the Brewers from Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Joe Ross against Frankie Montas. Montas, newly acquired and opening day starter for the Redlegs. Both teams were quiet in the first two innings, scoreless. Then the Brewers opened things up in the third. A leadoff walk to Sal Frelick. A double down the right field line by Bryce Terang. Second and third and nobody out for the bottom of the order in Blake Perkins.
The 3-2. Line drive, blooped into right center field by Perkins. It falls in for a base hit. Oh, boy, did Terang read that well. He'll score the second run. He was off with the crack of the bat. He follows Frelick to the plate. It's a two-run single by Blake Perkins, and the Brewers have a 2-0 lead in the third.
Josh Maurer on the call here on WTMJ. They wouldn't be done in the frame. Two batters later, Christian Yelich.
Has the ball and the sign of the pitch is ripped in a right. Yelich has delivered a base hit. Oh, he smoked that ball. In from third is Perkins. Fraley cuts it off before the warning track and holds Yelich to a two-out run-scoring single. Brewers have a 3-0 lead.
All three hits and the walk in that third inning came with two strikes against Frankie Montas. So in command, 3-0. Joe Ross in command as well. In the first three frames, he had struck out five. Then in the fourth, the Reds got one against him, but now he's sweating a little bit. Runners on second and third, one run in, and it's only a 3-1 ball game. The bottom half of the order for the Reds, not as successful as the Brewers, as Joe Ross clamped it down.
Fraley at third, De La Cruz at second. Ross with a 1-2 pitch. Inside corner, ring him up, struck him out. Fastball perfectly placed right on the inside black. And two big punch outs from Joe Ross strand a couple in scoring position here in the home fourth.
And in response in the fifth inning, the Brewers got back to work. A leadoff bunt single by Perkins, an error by Elly De La Cruz on what should have been an inning-ending double play, and Yelly made him pay.
First pitch to Christian, rocketed into right field for a base hit. Perkins is in, around third is Contreras, he will score. Chugging for second is Yelich, he slides in there safely with a two-run double, and the Brewers lead it 5-1. Christian Yelich, 2-for-3 tonight. He's driven in three. What a start to 2024 for the Brewers Super Star.
Lane Grindle on the call here on WTMJ. That would be the final inning of work for Frankie Montas after allowing five runs, but the Brewers' offense certainly wasn't finished yet. The man of the hour, Blake Perkins, added to his stat line.
Spires brings home the pitch. It's a ground ball back up the middle and into center field for a base hit. Frelick around third. He will score without a throw. Blake Perkins 3-for-3, and he's driven in three runs tonight. It's 6-1 Milwaukee. How about the production out of the nine spot tonight for the Brewers?
A new career high in hits for Blake Perkins with those three hits. They weren't done in the seventh either. That's when the floodgates really opened with the doubles A leadoff walk to Contreras, a double by Adames, then it was Bowers.
0-2 pitch. Line drive, pulled down the right field line by Bowers. It's going to hit on the grass, a fair ball and roll to the warning track. Two runs will score. Fraley throws it in, but not before Jake Bowers is safely into second.
And then very quietly, Sal Frelick, he reached base four times, including this RBI single.
0-1 pitch. Poked into center field. What a great piece of hitting. That's on the grass for a hit. Around third comes Bowers, and the throw to the plate from Benson is cut off. Sal Frelick collects an RBI single. Stopping at second is Hoskins. There's run number nine. 9-1 Brewers lead in the seventh inning. Pouring it on in Cincinnati indeed.
However, the Reds would get a pair of runs in the seventh and another run in the eighth as the Brewers bullpen just kind of leaked a little bit of oil. Then Abner Uribe allowed the first two batters to reach in the ninth, meaning the tying run would be on deck for the rest of the inning. He would strike out Will Benson. He would strike out Christian Encarnacion Strand. Then it was Jamer Candelario as the last hope.
The 1-2 pitch. Slider called, third strike. This ball game's over. Abner Uribe hangs in there and gets the Brewers through this ninth inning. It got tight late, but the Brewers win it 9-5, and they've evened this series at a game apiece.
1-1 in this Central Division series matchup. First two of 13 are in the books. And tomorrow should be a fun one, if we're dodging raindrops, that is. We'll preview game three of this four-game set from Cincinnati as the Brewers win today by a final of 9-5. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh? Been waiting on this for a while now.
Last couple texts here. This one from Ricky in Honey Creek. What a game. Offense is good so far. Joe Ross, excellent. Yelly and Perkins were good. Can't wait to see Miley tomorrow. Go Crew. And that leads us into tomorrow's preview. Same time, same place, 5:40 first pitch. Our coverage begins at 5:05 right here on WTMJ. It'll be Hunter Green, last year's opening day starter for the Reds, against Wade Miley. Wade making his season debut after his shoulder fatigue sidelined him and put him behind a little bit during spring training. He is back and ready to go. As for Green and his two starts so far this season, he's been solid, sub-3 ERA. He went six innings in his last go-around against the Mets, but with all due respect to the Nationals and to the Mets, this is a better offense that Hunter Green will be facing. He also walked four against the Nats. He only walked one, but he also hit two batters against the Mets in his last start, so a little bit of command issues so far for Hunter Green. Then on Thursday, at least it's scheduled to be a 12-10 first pitch, and it'll be Freddy Peralta against Nick Martinez. There is just, the forecast reads tomorrow, periods of rain. So we will see what that actually means tomorrow, if we need to have some rain delay theater for you here on WTMJ. But if we have a post-game show, we'll be ready to cover it for you after the contest. Let's take a quick peek around the out-of-town scoreboard as you get ready to say goodnight here in the Central. The Pirates lost on a blown save by David Bednar. They lose to the Tigers 5-3, and old friend Rowdy Tellez went out in front of the cameras and made sure there was no closer controversy, that David Bednar is their guy, calling him a two-time All-Star and the pride of Pittsburgh. So, of course, we know that Rowdy Tellez is a good guy, standing up for his closer. News out of Baltimore, of course, the next opponent for the Brewers, that Jackson Holliday is scheduled to be called up. He will join the team tomorrow at Fenway Park, where they're taking on the Red Sox, who, oh, by the way, the Orioles beat the Red Sox today 7-1 at the Fenway Park home opener. So that means this weekend we could see the Jackson versus Jackson show, Churio versus Holliday. And Corbin Burnes pitched today for the Orioles, which means he is officially lined up, likely to go on Sunday against his former club. Elsewhere in baseball, the Royals just walked off, as I'm speaking, walked off on the Astros. The Astros fall to 4-8. A Salvador Perez game-winning single up the middle wins it 4-3 for the Royals. They're quietly 7-4 to start the season. How about the night that Shea Langeliers had for the Oakland A's in Arlington? The A's win 4-3, and Langeliers responsible for all four runs via homer. Three-homer game for Shea Langeliers, including the final one off of Jose Leclerc, the closer for the Rangers, blew his first save of the year, two-run shot, as the A's beat the Rangers by a 4-3 final. Also out west right now, a couple of games happening. Scoreless in San Diego, 0-0 after the Cubs blew an 8-0 lead yesterday. They're scoreless so far in beautiful Petco Park. The Rays now have the lead on the Angels 4-3, but Mike Trout is playing like the best player on the planet again. Mike Trout hit his sixth homer of the season already in this one, marking his third consecutive game with a homer. That's the 15th time in his career he's had at least three homers, or at least a homer in three consecutive games. So keep an eye on Mike Trout. Diamondbacks trying to hang on against the Rockies. They lead 3-2. Nats over the Giants right now 3-1. They're in the top of the sixth inning as well. And then finally, out east, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners again 5-3. And the Yankees continue to beat up on the Marlins 3-2. Yankees over Miami. Miami is just 1-11. That's going to do it for our program here this evening. My thanks to Craig Kishon for joining us and for our producer, Evan Witalison, and for everybody who tweeted in, joined in, texted in, called in. We hope to hear from you once again tomorrow. Again, our coverage will begin at 5:05 right here on the home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ with the On Deck Show. And then I will have you for Brewers Extra Innings after the contest for Wade Miley's return going up against his former club, the club he threw a no-hitter with, the Cincinnati Reds. 5:40 is the first pitch. We will talk to you then. My thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.